Hello and welcome to Nine is Charge. Welcome to the Old World Show. I'm joined as ever by Tom. Welcome, Tom.
Hello.
It's good to be back, mate. Today we are going to be talking about what Games Workshop can do to ensure that the Old World is going to be the massive success that we want it to be. And we're going to touch on a couple of pitfalls that we felt that they fell into with Warhammer Fantasy Battles that led to its ultimate demise. But we're going to try and not be too critical on Warhammer Fantasy Battles, because after all, it is the game that we love the most. So we're going to run through a few ideas that we've got, just kick some ideas around, talk about some stuff Games Workshop has done in the past, talk about some stuff they could do differently in the future, and just see what we reckon they could do to ensure it's a success. But the most obvious thing that we could do to make sure it's a success is go and buy the game as soon as it comes out. But just before we get into that, of course, I just want to shout out our Christmas charity raffle. So if you haven't yet bought a ticket, you can buy a ticket right up until the 24th. Time is running out, though. They start at £5. There's a link in the description, and you can win one of our fantastic prizes, including a start collecting box of your choice, a spot on our hobby hangout stream, various miniatures, rules for Burning Sands, a skirmish game, loads of cool stuff on there, and it's for a really amazing cause. It's going to help children with a locked-in diagnosis at the special school, the New Sibling School, this Christmas. So please check it out. It would make a massive difference to these children over Christmas. So yeah, if you haven't yet bought a ticket, click that link.
Get involved. Get involved. I just want to say, before we crack into the stream, how grateful me and my partner are, because my stepson attends that school, and see £130 donated already is mind-blowing. You know, we check it every day. We're like checking it like you would check the news and the weather report. We just get so excited to see if someone else has donated. Because every penny goes such a long way for them. So thank you. Massive thank you, everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely a charity that is very close to our hearts. So thank you very much, everybody. All right, let's go through and kick around some ideas. So I've got a few that I've put up on my notepad. The first one that I've got that I put down was to be less static. So we all love the Old World, but there was an element of it that was compared to Age of Sigmar. Like, Age of Sigmar drives forward really well, and new campaign books come out and the lore changes, and they're not afraid to do anything. So when Broken Realms came out, one of the cities of Sigmar that's actually featured in the book, that's a playable like sub-faction, that city was just completely destroyed and like turned over to Morathi. And they're just not afraid to be bold and shake things up. And I think now we've got a really cool part of the timeline that hasn't quite been explored. And there's lots of avenues and things they could go down. And I don't think they should be afraid of that. I think they should keep embracing what they've done with that. And it did feel a bit like in the past that every time a new army book came out, we would get the same stories reprinted or retold, and we'd get the same miniatures, but just updated, but not necessarily new miniatures.
Like, yeah.
I can remember I was waiting for, you know, a new tree man. There were three tree men whilst I played between fifth and eighth, but not many new units and stuff like that. And the lore was nearly always the same, with the exception probably for what else, of the introduction of Araloth later on. So yeah, that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a timeline that drives forward up towards the Great War Against Chaos. It doesn't matter if we don't get there, to me, to be honest, but I'd just like to see something move forward and be less static, and every new release to usher in something different in the lore.
Yeah, I think that'd be big. That'd be mega. Like, instead of stopping at 2 minutes to midnight, just kick the clock right past it. Go ham. Where would you think, like, so we know from the lore, the Old World moved on into Age of Sigmar.
Yeah.
Do you reckon you'd see, like, an alternative timeline and go, so, like, in this Old World universe, Age of Sigmar doesn't happen, the end time doesn't happen, so they can just push right past it and do something and give us something new we never knew we wanted.
That's kind of what they've done with Blood Bowl, isn't
Blood
it?
Bowl.
Blood Bowl,
yeah.
Exists in like a little bubble where only Blood Bowl exists, and it sets some in some sort of alternate Old World. But I don't think they will do that. The reason that I don't think they'll do that for the Old World is because where the Old World is set is quite far back in the past, and I don't think they'll ever reach the end times.
No. No, I agree. But do you reckon there's a chance to change some of the stories a little bit? Because there's a bits that have been explored. Do you reckon they could change it and just manipulate them a little bit to make the narrative a bit more open to something new happening?
I don't know that they'll change it, but I think they'll add to it, is what they'll do. So instead of saying, oh, this didn't happen or it happened, or you might find out that things happened a slightly different way, or things happened because of a different reason than was reported. You know, this is always something that does happen, where through the eyes of, say, the Empire, it looks like such and such happened. We talked about in the cafe episode with Jeremy about the Great Maw, which is something that the ogres worship. But actually, it was created by the astromancers of Cathay. So from Cathay, it looks like a spell they cast, but from the ogre's point of view, it looks like a god. So maybe we'd see something like that rather than like a complete.
I didn't know that. That's really cool. That's really cool.
I think that's the first one for me, is that I'd like to see a less static game. I'd like to see things driven forward a bit better. Or a bit more.
Yeah.
Next I've got is barriers to entry. So there's no getting away from the cost of the hobby. You know, it's an expensive hobby. It's a luxury product. But barriers to playing the game can be lowered quite significantly. And we have seen this with, you know, rules being free for Age of Sigmar, for 40K now, and for open and narrative play being available. So you can kind of play your way with your models and have the rules and have the war scrolls just kind of there ready for you. And I think we need to keep going with this, because there was, especially in 8th edition, there was a massive barrier to entry. You needed your big rule book, you needed your faction-specific rule book, and then you needed your models. And it's very different. And there was Warhammer Fantasy Battle Skirmish and other stuff like that, but it just didn't feel quite as supported. Right. Whereas open play and narrative play feel very supported.
Yeah. So, like, before, it cost you, the rule book was like 45, and then an army book was 30. So, £75 before you've even purchased a model. Doing something about that. Free rules, a companion app to go along with it, I think, is the way forward. Instead of having a massive rule book, get everything on an app, get everything in Warhammer Plus. I think that would be brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. Putting it on the app, it's so accessible, isn't it? And it's so easy. Yeah. And I think that's definitely the way. It's just really fantastic, really, that there's been this shift already, that Games Workshop are now giving away for free something that they would have charged £45 for. I know the rule book comes with loads of extra, and it comes with loads of lore, and it used to have everything about all the factions, and it used to have all the different stuff in there. But, you know, ultimately, it was a book of rules, and to get the rules now, you don't have to spend that money, and you can put it straight into miniatures and straight into playing. And I think actually that's paid off massively for Games Workshop, because you do see a lot more people playing now than you used to. Warhammer is much more common, even been mentioned on the Graham Norton show and all these other things, you know, which never would have happened before. It would have just been, you know, kids in a basement saving up their money for a book and then having to play with Lego models because they can't afford the models. There's a little nod to Jeremy there. I was thinking I want to see a launch campaign as well. I want to see Games Workshop just go out there with marketing and not be afraid to target their old customers. People, you know, Kings of War, you know, Mantic aren't afraid to say, oh, well, if you want to play a game of square bases, come and play our game right now. I think they should, you know, let's just go full The Empire Strikes Back.
And
just say, look, you know, this is the game that you really wanted to play all along, and you've been playing whatever naff thing's going on over there. And no offense, Kings of War, because it is a really good rule set, actually. But, you know, Games Workshop can play on that a bit and be like, right, you know, this is it, and start to capture people's nostalgia and build a bit of hype, use the Warhammer community. And I would love to see, but I don't know that we will, I'd love to see a Lord of the Rings style magazine, like when that came out and you got loads of free goblins in the front of it. they're basically just free. I don't know that they'll do that, because I think as amazing as it was at the time, I don't know how they made any money when it came out, because everyone just had a goblin army, because everyone just hoovered up those magazines.
Yeah, they got like a pound.
But
they still do it now, don't they? They've done the AOS magazine and they've done the 40K one. They were just the contents of like two starter boxes, essentially. So could you do
one? You know what? That AOS magazine is really good value in a lot of respects. I was talking to my cousin Tom about it recently. We had a beer and he's big into AOS and he collects that magazine. And he was like, across, I think an episode is like £7.99 or £8, something like that. But across two episodes of the magazine, you get a Celestine Prime. And he was like, it's just so, like, that just... It's what? Such a good, yeah, it's just such a good save. £16 for those two episodes. So they still do it in a way. Maybe they will. Well, I think it'd be great for people who want to like slow grow their armies and just paint along at a certain pace.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll be like that. I think we'll be getting a start set and whatever else and just trying to get an army on the tabletop straight away, get the contrast out.
Oh, contrast for Age of for Warhammer Fantasy. I've been painting some Empire Spearmen. And it is fantastic. I painted 3 models in an hour, based everything in an hour. I could easily have done more, I reckon. So I think it's the way forward.
So you're straight on for the Horde armies then, Tom?
Maybe. I was dissing Hordes earlier. I know there's another video where I was slamming Hordes, but bring them in. Want contrast?
Contrast.
Get Hordes. Yeah, let's get it going. I think painting, so that's another one, expanding contrast a bit more to get your Warhammer Fantasy armies up and what's together. Cool is
they kind of have a little bit tied it in with there, because they've named some of the contrast paints the same names as some of the old paints. So you've got Snakebite Leather and stuff like that. Snakebite Leather was a paint that I can remember painting satchels on my wood elves, like the little like carry bags that they have and stuff.
Yeah.
In Snakebite Leather when I was younger. So that's cool that they are back and they do tie in. We still do have, Null Noil, even though Null doesn't exist. So, it's kind of like the paint range is waiting.
And Reichland Flesh Shade.
Yeah.
So it's there. I think it's going to be mega. I think there's something there. I really like the idea of like striking back, calling out Kings of War and Ninth Age.
They've got to do it in the right way, though, because you don't want to annoy those customers. But you've got to try and energize them and hype them up enough. So it will be tricky. There is a balance there. But ultimately, people aren't playing the Ninth Age because it's the Ninth Age. They're playing the Ninth Age because there isn't a Ninth Edition of Warhammer Fantasy
Battle. I think if there's anyone who's going to do it properly, Games Workshop, I think, have shown they can be tactful and funny enough at the same time to do it. So.
Games Workshop on it, whatever you do. All right, so next, this is one for you, I think, Tom. I'll touch on it a bit, but I'm putting down tie-in with Total War as much as possible, and it might surprise you, or may not surprise you to know, it surprised me to know that Creative Assembly is now the UK's largest gaming company. The fan base for the compute game is absolutely massive. Mm-hmm. And that's a market that they can really reach into. And I had a thought, I don't know that they'll do it, but I remember where there was an issue of White Dwarf magazine where when you bought the magazine, there was like a code for DLC for the game. And I think if you do a tie-in, if you buy the starter box, say, there's a special character in the starter box that you can then get in the game and then try and market as some sort of video game collectible kind of thing as well. Get them of the army that you play in the game.
I'd love that idea. I'm sure there's a universe where these two launched at the same time, and Creative Assembly had like some super pre-order where you got the start collecting or the beginning. I can't think about what it's called. The starter box. And the game, and you just input your little code, you get your special characters, and then the real video game collectors out there just send that stuff off to get painted. So they have your collector's editions of your characters all professionally painted, all looking incredible in your little display cabinet. Yeah, I think that'd be absolutely incredible. But unfortunately, I don't think they're going to have the game ready, the box game ready in February. So we suspect,
don't we, that that was the plan all along to launch the old world and Total War 3 side by side. But I think COVID and various other things have gotten in the way, and you know, we've been struggling just to get core games out like Dragons and things like that. And I think it's just, we just have to wait and see when it comes out, and it will come out when it comes out, and it will be great when it comes out. And it's right that they don't release it until it's ready and do some kind of like half-assed job on it. But it's a shame, isn't it, that the way it looks is that they won't come out side by side. But it doesn't mean that when it does come out, there won't be a tie-in, because I think you were talking to me before, Tom, off stream, that the market for collectibles in video games is just so much bigger than I imagined. Like, I see the Funko Pop models and things when I go into town and things, but it's just like, it's on another level, isn't it?
It is. It's ridiculous. So, like, people who are really into their video games, just like any collector, any, like, we're in a very premium luxury hobby. Any collector doesn't mind splashing a bit of cash on that thing that they really want. Like, people have brought spaceships in games that aren't out yet for £20,000 plus. Yeah, so like getting that tie-in, I think, would just be mega for the game, because I think like the recurrent players for the Warhammer Total War games are like miles above the rest of Creative Assembly. So they've got a real good chance to like be in each other's pockets there, you know.
Yeah.
Release a cool character for the old world, side-by-side release with Warhammer Total War 3, because the design teams are working together on this.
And I know that there is a market for it, because there's a chap who I work with who, he doesn't play Age of Sigmar or anything like that, but he plays Warhammer Total War on his PC and he absolutely loves it. And he said his big faction is the Vampire Coasts, and you know, there's all different factions people play, but he has said to me, as soon as the miniature game drops, if they're Vampire Coast, I'll just buy them all. Like, straight away, I'm all in. So they need to try and replicate at least the factions that they've got in that game at the moment, probably, I think. Even the niche ones, because he doesn't want Undead Pirates as well.
Undead Pirates is such a good idea.
Yeah.
Even, like, even if they did something just, like, release Galmaraz. So there's a lot of 3D printable Galmarazes out there, but just have one as part of the collectors. Be able to get one from the online store and all of those little bits and bobs, other merchandising ideas they could do. I just think they need to just like put the foot down a bit and get on
with it. It's something that they've started to twig with now, isn't it? There's like the plush toys coming out and stuff like that. Pin badges. I've got a Stormcast pin badge when I was painting my Excelsiors and stuff.
Like the Framas Crusade pin badges. Up on my, I've never read anything about it, but they just looked cool, and I was just like, oh, I can do it with some badges. That's something that needs to happen.
What's we got? Oh, I've got one just for you, Tom. Here it says, "We don't want Stormcast, we want Recast."
That's brilliant.
So, yeah, give us our old models back. Give us a limited run of something that we really enjoy. And this is a way to get the old players back, because a lot of players are playing Ninth Age Kings of War with Games Workshop models. And the new stuff is brilliant. Soulblood Grave Lords is a perfect example of where a brand new army fits the old aesthetic and they can be combined really well. But there's a lot of things that we don't have. For example, there's no Empire Great Cannon anymore. And there's no like Organ Gun and all this sort of stuff that we really liked from the world that was, and they'll need to bring it back. And either they do complete new sculpts for it and they release them one at a time, or they do recast that lasts for a while, or they could even say, look, the game's launched, this is the new range, but we know you know people out there have got old collections, let's give you a month, you know, this month is, I'll be great, wouldn't it, first month. This month is Wood Elves. Oh my goodness, my poor one.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see that, especially for the old collectors out there. I'd love to see maybe do like a rotating year, just have a one going every month, year on year. So depends on how far back the casts go and how their ability to recast stuff. Because I'd love to see like Warhammer Through the Ages and do like this year, this month, we're doing, and just announce it, make it really public so people can save if you've got to save, so they can just go, this month we're doing fourth edition Empire characters, something like that, something really crazy. And then you've got your old collectors who, you know, there is a market out there for old editions of Warhammer. People go out and buy like sixth edition armies. I know there's one in Australia not too long ago. It's all sixth edition, everything with sixth edition models, sixth edition rules. And they just go crazy for it. And I'd love to see Games Workshop bring that stuff back because I've such a nostalgia for it.
Yeah, I think.
The hobby
I never got. They'll go back that far. I don't know. No. They probably do. They probably would be able to cast them, but I don't know. I think they'd go back to the last edition. It seems like 8th is going to be the launching platform for this
game. Yeah.
So kind of be 8th plus. So anything that we've had in 8th, I think, would be great. So. Let me buy my Glaive Guard again. Oh, that's do yeah, I do have like 20 or 30 down there.
Like every faction has how many hero units? The Empire had like a million. It had all different types of wizards, like 8 different wizards, warrior priests with double hand weapons, great weapons, hand weapon shield. Same with captains, engineers. Just keep on going through the list. And yeah, you can't get that stuff anymore. So it'd be nice to see it brought back.
Yeah, I said I'm not too bothered if it's brand new or if it's a recast, but it just seems like a sensible idea because they've done it in the past for Warhammer Legends, brought back a range for a little while. I think you said it in the last video, didn't you, Tom? They could just, I think you said just then, just do it month on month or every couple of months.
Yeah. Every couple of months, have a major war there.
Yeah, it'd be massive interest in that.
Yeah. I think the way that works is like transparency and giving people the release schedule if you are planning on doing it, because it's such a big thing. I would say let everyone know it's coming up months in advance, give them a few paychecks, and then at least give them some kind of window on when it might be shipped. Because
transparency, Tom, is like it's number one, actually. That's a massive thing, and that's already changed quite a lot. You know, there's the rumor mills and stuff like that and teases and things. Whereas before, I can remember you'd walk into a Games Workshop and the store manager wouldn't even know if you bought a box of models, if the new box was going to drop the week after. And there wasn't a lot of communication with the customer base, and they kind of just assumed they knew what the customer wanted, which is a difficult game to play when the lead time on an army is like 2 to 2.5 years. You kind of have to predict what your customer wants that far in advance. And then just giving it to them without letting them know, they must have done some sort of reach out to the hobby, and I don't know what they'd have done in terms of market research, but of course they would have done some. But social media just makes that so much easier now. They must just know what people want.
I do have a really salty story. I brought I think it was 6th edition rule 40k rule book like 2 weeks before the 8th edition one came 7th edition one came out. Just like, that's £40. That's not and I've used it. You know, I couldn't take it back, so I was just a bit salty. But hey ho, those things happen. But now it's now, the atmosphere is so different. Like, you know, a new edition was dropping months in advance.
So a lot of really what we're saying is keep doing what you're doing, really, and just port it across to the game that we love. Just be more open. Don't be afraid to drive the narrative, all this sort of stuff that they're kind of already doing. Give us the rules for free so we can just start playing out of the boxes straight away. They do need to capitalize on the computer game, definitely. I think that is a massive part of why we're getting this back, because if you look at Games Workshop share price, it's taken a little bit of a dip this year because of COVID and all the other things, but basically, it's just on the up and up, and it's like it doesn't need this game necessarily to make the company successful. So I think without potentially without the computer game, they might not have done it. So they really need to work on that and keep on those ties and keep strengthening those ties. Keep working Creative Assembly. Keep the two design studios working together as much as possible.
The thing is, I think you're right. I don't think this would have happened without the video game. Like the outstanding success that video games be. You know, if it never came out, I don't think people would be interested. I think it would have been, you know, a fleeting thing, people doing a few tournaments every now and again, but nothing mega. Mm. But now it's out there, the person you didn't expect to be into Warhammer Fantasy has picked up a video game and now playing it, and that's, oh, what's this?
Yeah, it's like a whole new generation of players, isn't it? As well?
'Cause it's reached out in ways you just couldn't do before. Mm. I love it. Oh, one thing I want to add is don't be afraid to give us something we don't know we want. Something they're really good with AOS. Just like out of the blue, a new race or a new aesthetic for a race we didn't even know we wanted. Like when we're thinking High Elves, you're thinking your classic High Elves, they're going to bring High Elves back. And then they brought out the Lumineth Realm Lords, are they called?
Yeah.
And I was just like, what is this? I never expected that. Not in a month of Sundays. And I loved it.
Yeah. But awesome. I think they will do that. You know, we've seen already Border Princes is on the map, Cafe's on the map. And I think they will explore this kind of stuff. And there's, I know the game is called The Old World, and The Old World is quite a small part of the Warhammer Fantasy Battles world. But there's so much more to it. I mean, I was saying to Jeremy about Cafe, you know, we've got a faction that we call the Empire, but Cathay is much, much bigger than the Empire. It's massive. It's like it's like it dwarfs the Empire. The Empire looks like a province to Cathay. So, like, you know, it's just one of those things, isn't it? There's so much more to keep going, and you could go to Eend and you could go to Araby and all that sort of stuff. And I'd like to see all that stuff done eventually. But I think they do need to start with the core of what people remember and what people are playing in the game, the computer game, what people played with in the past, and then expand into it. But I think, you know, if they could bring to life some of the stuff we've seen for Cafe and some of the stuff we've seen for Keyslev in the trailers and something, oh my goodness.
Oh, it'd be incredible, wouldn't it?
All right. I think that's everything I've got, Tom. Is there anything that you want to add?
No, I think that's it. Everything.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching. Let us know your ideas of what you think they should do to make sure that this game is a success. Let us know in the comments. We love reading your comments and getting involved and hearing your ideas. I'm sure you've got some great ideas, much better than what we've come up with today. So thank you very much for watching. We'll be back for the Christmas special, which is live streaming on the Sunday the 19th. Which is at 7:30 GMT. So come and join us, come and hang out. We're just going to share some memories of the game that we've played, matches that we've had, and funny memories. You know, we've already touched on Jeremy and his Lego armies and stuff like that. So come and have a drink with us, come and hang out, and we'll catch you then.